So Luke chapter number 22. Let's go to the Lord in word prayer before we get started this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for the privilege, Lord, we had to come to Your house, Lord, today. And Lord, thank You for Your presence, Lord, we felt already. And Lord, just the movement You had. Thank You for working in these parts, Lord. And Lord, especially these young people, Lord. It's a blessing to see You work in young people's heart today. You go to many churches and you don't see that, Lord. Many churches we go to, Lord, there's no young people at all. But Lord, we see a young people in this church that have a desire and a hunger to serve You, Lord. And God, I pray You'd help this church as a congregation, or the older ones in the church, Lord, to be an encouragement to them and to be an example for them and show them what a godly life is all about. And I pray today You'd help us, Lord, to preach, Lord, what You'd have us to preach today, Lord. There's many things that went through my heart this morning, but I feel like You've had me to settle on this, Lord. And I pray You help me to be clear this morning, and Lord, be an encouragement to these individuals, Lord. And we'll thank You, Lord, for everything You've done and You continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter number 22, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 39. Verse number 39. Verse 39, it says, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And for the past couple of weeks in my Sunday school class back at Welcome, I teach the young people Sunday school class. The Lord's really put on my heart to deal with God's will. God's will. What is God's will all about? And right here in verse number 42, I believe we see the best example of someone following God's will that we'll find in the Bible. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He followed God's will to a T. But when I was a teenager, and when I pictured God's will in my mind, I was out in the world and I was afraid of God's will. I had a fear about it. I knew that God had a will for my life, but to be honest, I was scared He was going to call me to preach. Well, He did. But even when I was a teenager, when I was a young individual, I'm still a young individual, but when I thought about God's will, I thought God's will was you find the person you're going to marry, after that you find what you're going to do for the rest of your life, and that's it. God's will is done. But as I begin to live for the Lord and try my best to serve the Lord to the best of my ability and the best that He allowed me to, I've learned that God's will doesn't just stop then. God's will is a continuation. It's a daily working in our lives. And it can be impacted by our past decisions, by our present decisions, and in our future decisions that we make. That's what God's will is all about. And when I begin to realize that, I realize, you know, God's will is not just for young people. And it's not just for teenagers. It's for each and every. When you're a saved individual, God has a purpose for your life. God put you here for a reason. There's a particular thing that God wants you to do. And during this past year, I realized, looking back, many times I wasn't focused on God's will the way I needed to be. I was not focused on God's will. Many, many times our minds will get on other things. On things, maybe not sinful things, but just things we put before God and before His will for our lives. But there are a couple of things I want you to look at with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I believe as Romans 12:2 teaches us that God has a perfect will for our lives. It's a perfect will. And for us to know what that perfect will is, then our lives are going to have to be completely consumed with His will. They're going to have to be. And there's not a better picture of that than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see about Jesus right here, number one, He presented Himself. He presented Himself, just as Romans 12:1 talks about. Paul beseeches us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did. He presented Himself. The word present in this verse literally means to place or set beside or near, hence to place at someone's disposal. So Paul is begging or pleading us to make ourselves available to the Lord and His service. That's exactly what he's doing. That being near indicates a submission right there. When you draw near to the Lord, you're submitting yourself to Him. You're saying, "Here, Lord, use me, whatever You'd have me to do. Here I am." But many times when we're rebelling, it's not that near, it's that running away. We try to get far away from Him. We don't have a desire to come to church. We don't have a desire to read our Bibles. We don't have a desire to pray like we need to. That's when we get away. But that submission, that presenting ourselves, is drawing up closer to Him, making ourselves available for service. That's what that presenting ourselves was. And that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. John 1 tells us about the Word that was in the beginning with the Father. But in verse 14 of John 1, John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Yeah.
Just second, sit back and think about what Christ had to go through. Just think about, not just His crucifixion, but think about what He did just becoming a body of flesh.
Right.
Think about that. Think about what He left. Think about where He was at.
Right.
Hey, there was no sin up there.
Right.
There was no devil up there. There was no cat of nine tails up there. There was no thorn,
right.
Crown of thorns. There was none of that. He didn't have to deal with the suffering up there. But you see what Christ did? Christ left all of that for me and you.
Yeah, right.
He was obedient unto that.
Yeah.
But when we think about that, Christ giving up Himself was a huge step down.
Yes, sir.
But when we give up ourselves, that's a huge step up.
Amen.
It's completely
good.
Different.
It's good, brother.
Christ gave up Himself. He gave up all that He had in glory so we could give up our sins. That's what He did. That's what it was all about. He presented Himself a living sacrifice.
Yes.
So Christ is our example. But God is not asking us to give up anything like Christ gave up. That's not what He's asking us to do. God wants us to give up our will, which is harmful to us, for His will that is profitable to us.
Yes.
That's what He wants us to do.
Right.
Jesus presented Himself or yielded Himself. Also, number two, He presented Himself, but He performed the Father's will. He performed the Father's will.
That's good, brother.
Christ did not start well and then fade down the stretch.
No.
That's not how it went with Him.
Man.
But when He came to earth in that body of flesh, He had His eyes on Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's what He was focused upon. Three different times in Luke chapter 9, this is mentioned. Luke chapter 9, verse 31. "Who appeared in glory and spake of His decease which He should accomplish at Jerusalem." Luke 9, 51. "And it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem." Luke 9:53. "And they did not receive Him because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem." God's will for Christ was to be accomplished at Jerusalem. That's where it was to take place. And no matter where He went, nothing that He did hindered God's will for His life. Nothing that He did, no matter where He went, it did not hinder it at all. But can we say the same thing about ourselves? Can we say the same thing? When we go through life's daily routine, are our eyes focused upon God's will for our lives? I'm a big college football fan. Love to watch college football. And many of you may like up in this part of town, I'm sure there's a lot of college football fans. But just this past weekend, y'all heard of Urban Meyer, the Florida coach. What had happened, this man had won two national championships, part of the best program in the country. But what had taken place, hearing about it, he was spending so much time consumed with football. They said he would spend 20 hours a day focusing on recruiting, calling recruits, focusing on plays. So it was all about football and sleep 4 hours. That's what he would go to his daughter's volleyball games, and he'd be on the phone talking about football. It was all about football for this man. And the Lord really convicted me about that. He really dealt with me about that. He said, "Lee, you know, look at that man. He spends so much time focused on football, and it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter at all. What's that going to matter for eternity? But I've called you to preach. How much time do you spend focusing on that?
Mercy.
How much time do you spend on that?" And I'm not just talking to preachers here. This is for each and every one of us has God's will for our lives. Each and every one of us has His will for our lives. But what is that will? And how much time do we spend focusing on that? But that's what we should do. We see that Christ, He performed the Father's will. Number three. He persevered during trials.
Yes, He did.
He persevered during trials. He stayed the course. Many times people will follow the Father's will as long as everything is going smoothly.
That's right.
God's will is good as long as everything is going good. But when the storms of life come along, that's when we start questioning, is this God's will? That's something my preacher told me when I surrendered to preach. He said, "You better make sure you surrender to preach. You better make sure, because the devil's going to fight you. He's going to try to tell you ain't surrendered to preach, or God ain't called you to preach. You better make sure you know that's what God wants you to do."
Right.
And if it's God's will for your life, make sure it's God's will for your life. Because the devil's going to fight you. He's going to try his best to get you out of it. Make sure you know what God's will is for your life and completely consume yourself with it. But what we must understand is that God's will for our life, everything's not going to go smoothly. But when Christ was arrested, He didn't turn back. He didn't turn back then.
That's right.
When the crown of thorns was placed upon His head, He didn't turn back.
Right.
When He was smote with the cat of nine tails, it didn't hinder Him at all. His purpose was to suffer and die the death that you and I deserved, right. And he wanted to do it with dignity.
Yes.
He wanted to do it properly, exactly the way the Father would have him to. He wanted to go all the way. He was not looking for the easy way out. How many times are we looking for the easy way out?
Right.
How many times? Because when we see his pain, we see his love. We see his obedience to the Father. It was not the nails that held him to the tree. You've heard this many times, but it was his love for you and me.
Yes.
That's what it was all about.
Thank you, Lord.
But here's what we must understand. As I spoke earlier, God's will is for each and every one of us. But many times, you get older up in age, and you think, well, God's done with me. God's finished with me. Look at all the suffering I'm going through. If you're still here, God still has a plan for you.
Yes.
Remember that.
Yes.
Young, old, God has a plan for you.
That's right.
How much time do we spend on God's will? And in 2010, how much time are we going to spend on God's will? There may be things that come in our lives. And I'll tell you one thing. You want to be the best father you can be? You want to be the best husband you can be? Spend time. Do God's will for your life. I can say this in my own personal life. Many times when I'm out, not sinful things. I just put my priorities get out of whack. And that Bible reading goes down. That prayer life goes down. That studying goes down. And you know what I do? I get ill.
Hello.
Like they spoke a while ago about that peace in your heart.
Yes.
The referee blew the whistle.
Yes.
He blows it a lot when you get like that.
Yes.
And you know who you take it out on? You usually take it out on your wife. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You take it out on your children. You take it out on those around your family members. You don't. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But when we have that peace of God ruling and reigning, you can be the best husband you can possibly be, and you'll be the best father you can be. But is God's will for your life your top priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. That's number one. And these things will be added unto you. Where are we at today? The Lord has put that on my heart this morning. It's 2010, well, it's already here. How much time are we going to be consumed with God's will for our lives?
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.